It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Kevin Milwaukee says, we have the meats. You best damn believe it. I got my salami all ready to go. How's everybody doing? It is Sunday night, the 4th of June. It is a rainy, horrible, cold day in New York, which actually is fine with me because I am drinking hot coffee and I have tons of lights going. And yeah, it gets hot in here pretty quick. So I hope everybody's having a good weekend. I am, I kind of can't believe that we're already at Sunday night. It feels like this, that it was Friday night. Man, the weekends go by so fast sometimes. But hope everybody's doing well. First off, you know, I'm going to have to repeat this a couple of times the next few days because not everybody tunes into every show that I do. But the announcement that I made yesterday, as far as this video side of things that I do, the channel is remaining free. You know, of course, channel members get a little bit more. It only makes sense. And I am going to be bringing Wednesday Night Dynamite back to non-channel members. The only thing is you're probably going to see a little bit more in the advertising department because we got to pay the bills. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's nice to have a little bit left over. But still, you know, I saw what Wrestling Observer did a couple of days ago. They announced that all of their shows are going behind a paywall. And that was funny because I got some nasty emails because I forgot that a month ago when I told everyone that I was going to be making some changes to this channel, I said I was going to do the same setup that Observer was doing. And then a couple of days ago, they announced that everything's going behind a paywall. And people like, that's fucked up. And it's, I'm like, no, I never said that. So, yeah, so enough. You're not here to hear me ramble. So, by the way, tomorrow night, 11.05 p.m. Eastern, if you are interested, I will be recapping Raw. Got to give a little bit more love to what went down on SmackDown Friday with Jimmy Uso and Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. So you probably have me add a little bit Monday as far as what went down on SmackDown. Really enjoyed it. I watched the segment for a second time. Many pay-per-views, I'll watch matches twice. Some pay-per-views, I will watch the entire event twice. Not too often, and I will watch something on Raw or SmackDown for a second or a third time within a few days of each other. And I did on Friday. And, you know, look, it goes to show you that we don't need five-star matches to be entertained to the max. Wrestling is a little bit of everything. You know, great matches, you know, I will never, ever crap on that, no matter who it is. I saw a lot of people today getting excited that Bryan Danielson's going to be maybe be taking on Okada. Is that going to be for Forbidden Door? And for me, you know, Okada doesn't tickle my fancy all that much because I don't watch Japanese wrestling. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be a banger. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch it and appreciate, you know, what I'm seeing before my eyes. So, but we're going to have a little vote on this channel within the next week or two, once we know the card. I announced that the last Sunday of every month, the sit-down episodes will have the non-wrestling theme to it. And it just so happens that the last Sunday of this month is Forbidden Door. So we're going to have to make a decision. Do we do a sit-down episode, or do we do it earlier, or do we take the night off? Because I know some of you out there are probably going to watch Forbidden Door. We'll see. I'll leave it all up to you. So anyway, the sit-down is in full effect. I am Don Tony, and on Sundays what we do here is, to quote Roddy Piper, well, sort of quote Roddy Piper, you ask the questions, and I give you the answers, my thoughts, my opinions. If everybody who is live, you basically pick the topics of what we talk about for the next hour or so. If you're live in the chat, that's how you can interact. Before your question, just type the word question in capital letters so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, just type the word comment. If you send a super chat, That obviously gets a little VIP treatment. It goes to the front of the line, and they're not required. Never required, but they are appreciated, and they definitely, you know, help. Believe me, more than you know. And one came in before we went live, and I did not read this in advance. So let's see. Ronnie C. Ronnie's in the house. Thoughts on Lacey Evans and Sergeant Slaughter going at it online. Thank you for the five spot, Ronnie. Lacey Evans, Sergeant Slaughter. Okay. All right. For those that don't know, and I admit I haven't paid extremely close attention to it because I know what the purpose of WWE accounts are on social media. You know, when you see Hit Row and the OC going at it a little bit, you know, they're not really shooting on each other and wanting to, you know, legitimately beat each other up. I saw enough that I knew exactly what it is. And no one's going to tell me otherwise. People will try to tell me otherwise because they don't like Lacey Evans. Disliking Lacey Evans is a lot different than the truth. Because look at Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, you know, was misinterpreted in an article that was put out. I think the New York Post spoke to Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler talked about how Ronda Rousey went to the office and issued demands about the two of them. Problem is that the people who hate Ronda Rousey went and said that Ronda demanded the tag team championships. But in actuality, Ronda Rousey was demanding that her and Shayna Baszler be a steady tag team. Had nothing to do with the titles. But you see, because a lot of people dislike Ronda Rousey, they're going to portray her in the biggest negative light as possible. Lacey Evans is getting that right now. And listen, I'm not going to lie. The Lacey Evans character on TV has not worked. We'll save that for another day as far as why it doesn't work. But as far as what's going on with Sergeant Slaughter right now, here's the deal. Here's the Cliff Notes version of it. Sergeant Slaughter's daughter called out Lacey Evans online over the weekend because she accused her of gimmick infringement. Now, Sergeant Slaughter has not wrestled technically on a regular basis since what, the 90s, the early 90s? Lacey Evans is a military person. Sergeant Slaughter played a military person. Not too long ago, there was a lot of buzz that Sergeant Slaughter was going to manage Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans is playing a character right now. Lacey Evans is not an asshole in real life. She has some views that a lot of us disagree with, and that makes her a bad person. I get it. But what's happened on social media, storyline. It's storyline. Because Lacey Evans is not going to bark back at Sergeant Slaughter's daughter and Sergeant Slaughter and say a lot of nasty stuff. There's a respect factor there. So Lacey Evans is trying to further her heel character on social media, and Sergeant Slaughter's having a little fun with it. Sergeant Slaughter's daughter's having a little fun with it. Sergeant Slaughter is a WWE company guy. I'm not saying that he's on the payroll getting this, but relax. Everybody, eat a Snickers. I know some of you may be disappointed that what I'm telling you kind of like poo-poos, like, oh, Lacey Evans, fuck, she's just being a cat. Listen, you got to call it like it is. And people are going to inflate it. People know the truth. And they're still going to go with a lie because it triggers more. You know what's going to happen on the podcasts for the next week. You're going to have these big shit storms on Lacey Evans, and they're going to use the social media stuff as an excuse, knowing that they're just trying to further her character as a heel. So that is what happened, Ronnie. You asked for an honest answer. Maybe you didn't ask for an honest answer. You know, you got to be a little bit more clear next time. If you want me to lie, I'll lie. I could lie very well. All right. Let's go over to the chat room. Thank you again, Ronnie, for that. All right. Garth is in the house. Andrew McGirth is in the house. Michael Gonzalez, Dave Craigle, Chris, 2426, Bailey, Josh, and then it just goes on and on. Rocky Red. So, Rocky Red with a question. With there now being one singular undisputed title is the hallowed and revered 60-year legacy of the WWE Championship retired? That is an awesome question. And unfortunately, in this computer right now, I don't have the picture to show you. Things got complicated over the weekend. Now, if you remember the May 14th episode of the sit-down, we talked about Roman Reigns getting a singular title. We talked about, you know, a few things about that. And as far as the lineage, they were going to continue the 1,000-day lineage because that's the celebration. The celebration is about the 1,000 days, which is the Universal Championship. We saw on Friday the reveal of the new singular championship. Follow me with this. Yesterday on the Don Tony Show episode, we talked about how going forward, now there'll be one singular title. And it makes more sense because when Cody Rhodes does dethrone Roman Reigns, it's going to look ridiculous if Cody is given all three championships. See, you could look at it in a boxing standpoint. In boxing, and I didn't do any research since yesterday, but I know in boxing you could hold multiple championships and then you have one championship that's like undisputed. And you could look at that idea for Roman Reigns. The problem is, if you continue celebrating the Raw Red Belt, the Blue SmackDown Belt, and that's the best way I can use it that right now. When Cody wins, now you got two championships on Raw. And I don't think they want to take away any of the importance of Seth Rollins' championship. So you think, common sense, going forward, there's just one title. Here's the problem. Unless undisputed is now going to be the term going forward for the SmackDown title. Why do I say this? I got emailed some high-definition photos of Roman Reigns with this title. And when you look at the title closely, on the bottom, in the front, it says Undisputed Champion. Now, if you look up in Webster's Dictionary the definition of undisputed, I know they don't use wrestling titles as an example, but undisputed doesn't have to do with anything that's going on Raw with Seth Rollins' championship. Undisputed means nobody is contesting it. Nobody is disputing it. Roman Reigns is the WWE Universal Champion. So undisputed, you know, because some people online, and listen, I appreciate their hard work with their journalism and their podcasting, anything, but sometimes I think, you know, maybe they're just smoking some good shit while they're writing or saying this stuff. But, you know, they're saying, oh, well, it's not undisputed anymore because Seth Rollins has a title. What the fuck does that mean? Take a step back and ask yourself, what does that mean when somebody says, I know it sounds good, but what does it mean? How is it undisputed if Seth has that? Undisputed. Look, listen, there's no dispute. It is undisputed. I am fat. Dispute has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' title. But, Roman Reigns' championship says undisputed champion. That might just be the terminology going forward from now on. Because if you interpret undisputed as two championships, undisputed, champion of everything, that makes no sense. So I think the terminology may be changing. So when you say that as far as lineage goes, yeah, we might have a brand new lineage for Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. It'll probably be the Undisputed Universal Championship. That may be the term going forward. Undisputed Universal. Listen, I know we're about tradition for a lot of us, and you don't just flush down the toilet the lineage of the WWWF, the WWF, the WWFE, the WWE. You don't take all that lineage for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, the Bruno lineage, and throw it away. But it's sports entertainment. Like, really, if they no longer use that lineage for Bruno's, you know, title history, are they really disrespecting the previous champions? Look at Roman Reigns. When they celebrated Roman Reigns' 1,000 days and they did that timeline, they showed a whole ton of champions. None of them were Universal Champion. You could still celebrate previous champions. And plus, this is a new era now. WWE is merging with Endeavor. So we have a whole new World Wrestling Entertainment. It's the letters will still be World Wrestling Entertainment, but the owners are different. So when I show the pictures tomorrow, remember what I said tonight, and I may even have to take this clip from tonight to portray it tomorrow, because I don't think I could better explain it tomorrow. I think going forward, the terminology will be Undisputed Universal Champion. And when you truly look up the definition of undisputed, that doesn't conflict with Seth Rollins' title. Did I confuse anybody? I hope I didn't. Because when I looked at the title closely, the high definition pictures, and I saw Undisputed Champion, I was like, wait, unless when Roman Reigns loses that title, do they issue a new championship to Cody Rhodes? And that really throws a monkey wrench in everything. So we'll see. Bash, I like the belt. I like the belt. If you look at the high definition pictures, they're nice. It's a nice looking belt. I know people are sick of the design, and a lot of belts have mimicked that design. But that's the design that everybody recognizes today, even outside of it. When they give championships to basketball teams and baseball teams and football teams and politicians or whatever, musicians, entertainers, you know, that logo, as soon as you see that belt, oh, WWE, that belt is kind of iconic in today's age. Even though it's not the nicest looking belt, they're going to keep that championship design. They have to. Excuse me for a second. My bulletproof coffee went down the wrong windpipe. And when you get bulletproof oil, MCT oil, down the wrong windpipe, it hurts even more. So, Austin Nance, what's going on, Austin? If I ran AEW, would I get rid of the Trios titles or keep them? I would keep them. Listen, I didn't talk about Rampage yesterday. And I did that on purpose because I want to see what the rating comes out on Monday. But the early rating is dismal. And this is their normal time slot, no playoffs, and it was dismal. And what was important about this week, and this answers your question, what was important about this week is that AEW decided that this week's Rampage was going to have four championship title defenses, and none of those titles are AEW titles. We had a New Japan title. We had a AAA title. I think we had, the four titles were not AEW titles. And, you know, it's cute and everything to, you know, make it seem, ooh, title match. You know, but if you're not worthy, like Willow Nightingale, I like Willow. She's from this neck of the woods. She's got a real cult following here in New York. She works her ass off and she deserves everything that she's getting. But she's not good enough yet to be AEW Women's Champion. And listen, let's cut her a break. Nobody dethroned Jade Cargill until Chris Statlander, and it was Chris's, you know, she was the one to do it. But you look on the opposite side, she's not even in contention for Jamie Hayter's belt, which is now Toni Storm's belt. But she could carry somebody else's promotion's title. And will make her feel, you know, you're putting someone on a pedestal using someone else's title, lineage. You know, I don't like that. So they took a risk by doing all these international matches, and I don't think it really, you know, caught the eye of the fans. I want to wait till the final number comes out. My point is, the Trios title, the TBS title, the TNT title, I mean, even though Orange Cassidy has done great with that championship, given the time, he was given the time, you got to stop putting all these other promotions titles on your shows. You know, it just, not everything could be cake and ice cream. You know, you have set the bar so high that TV's got to feel like pay-per-views every week in order to keep people's attention, that there's got to be vulgarity, blood, guts, you know, title match, this and that. Like, every week has got to feel almost like a pay-per-view, otherwise people may not be interested. It's almost like what I said before. If you don't go to horror films all that often, you know, you go to a horror film, you might get scared, you might get skivatsed, you might get all, like, nightmares from what the horror you see. But if you go to a horror film every single week, after a month or two, that's kid stuff. You know, let me see some real faces of death. You know, and then you start hunting down videos. I want to see real people getting run over by cars. Fuck the science fiction shit. So you get numb to it. So they got to stop with all these title defenses for other promotions. That'll make the Trios title feel more important. That'll make some of the other titles. And when you do defend those titles, you know, give us the impression that the people getting the title shot actually has earned it. You know, nothing against A.R. Fox, nothing against, you know, Joe Blow the second or El Nino the third, but if they're not on a winning streak and they're not beating high profile names, why are they getting a title opportunity? You know, do a non-title, fine. You know, but that's what I would do. Get rid of all these other title defenses from promotions that are not called AEW and stop giving title shots to try to make it feel more important. Ooh, wow, did you hear the Trios titles are on the line this week? Oh shit, yeah, I gotta see it. And it's against the schmuckheads. Like, what is, come on. That's what I would do. So, Fly, happy 27-month anniversary being a channel member. Awesome, man. The family made men. I like that. I don't see that pop up all that often, but that's cool, man. Very cool. So, Fly also says Khan has to appease all those other companies. I don't think New Japan is appeased because a title defense happens, you know, on an AEW show. I mean, it's a nice gesture, but I don't think it really, look, New Japan's ratings in the United States are pathetic. Let's call it like it is. It's pathetic. I mean, and when they did Forbidden Door last year, you know, like, you expected a bump. Even before and after, you expected a bump. Mercedes Moné's match, her debut, was on their TV, and the ratings got no bump. Imagine not even getting 70,000 viewers for Mercedes when the match that everybody talked about online, that now you get to see it for free on TV, and nobody tuned in. You know, so doing the matches is a nice gesture and everything, but honestly, it devalues the other championships. But AEW management doesn't care. They want every week. Listen, there is a large group of people out there. It's not just wrestling fans. It's people, everyday life, politicians, causes, social, you know, platforms, that every day it's got to be epic, amazing, unbelievable. This is the greatest thing ever. You know, I can't believe this. I feel like crying. Like, everything has got to be unbelievable, over the top. Everything's got to be amazing. And, you know, they can't just have, like, oh, come on. I have the Brussels sprouts again? Chicken thighs again? No, everything's got to have, like, a little cherry on top. And maybe, like, you put, like, the salad in the dish, and you have to put, like, the olives as the eyes and a smiley face with a maybe a little piece of vegetable. Like, everything's got to be a little over. When you give them their drink, there's got to be a crazy straw in it. Can't just give them a cup. Here's your cup. But where's my crazy straw? So, yeah, that's a problem. And it ain't going away anytime soon. You see people out there, they got to be coddled for every little thing. Every day is a national holiday for something, you know, whatever. I miss my crazy straws. I miss my crazy straws. When the fact that I was alive before, I don't think they were invented yet, just tells you how old I am. All right. Kevin says, Sunday, he never popped harder than when Karen Jarrett smashed the guitar of Aubrey Edwards' head. Someone has told her that they notice how she never takes bumps. You know, I think Karen Jarrett was the right person to do it. I think she was the right person to do it. Aubrey Edwards is a personality. I know a lot of people do not like her, especially when YouTube videos or Twitter videos get taken down, but that's a whole nother story. You know, it's funny. Sometimes when you act like an asshole, people will, breaking news to some of those Twitter accounts especially, when you act like an asshole and you celebrate things fucking up, don't be surprised if that person says, okay, all right, you want to play here, now I'm going to fucking piss you off in return. And then their videos get, you notice how some people, their videos never get taken down because they're a little bit more fair. You want to be a channel that just, and listen, I laugh at the botches. I laugh at the goofy stuff. I saw what went down on Friday with El Hijo del Vicenio and Serpentico and Matarazz, El Matarazz. I don't remember the other guy's name, where they're flipping. You know, I actually downloaded a YouTube video of Circus Dogs. I actually downloaded a video of Circus Dogs, and I was going to put it all together with Jim Ross's commentary, and they were going to, do the commentary during Friday, and all you were going to see was Circus Dogs, like flipping over each other. I decided not to do it. You know, but some people out there, they want to be assholes. But Aubrey Edwards, hey, they felt, you know what? Let's do a little segment with her. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, but, you know, let's also keep it in perspective. Did you see that guitar that Karen Jarrett hit her with, hit Aubrey Edwards with? It's like a piece of paper. Seriously. Do I have any paper? I just threw out most of my paper. So, no. I don't have paper here. But you look at it closely. Have you ever been hit with one of those rigged guitars? They don't hurt. You know, especially the ones that are paper thin. You know, it makes a nice hollow sound because it's inside air. There's nothing but air inside. You know, it makes a nice hollow sound. But that shit don't hurt. But it looks good. And with Aubrey Edwards, sometimes you kind of hope like maybe like a giant splinter. It like broke off and maybe like jabbed her in the head or something. That's for taking down my video, you bitch. That's what some people will say. So, yeah, Karen broke one guitar and she also couldn't draw a dime. Listen, Karen Jarrett, she's just having some fun. Jeff Jarrett is doing pretty good behind the scenes in AEW. I know some people aren't thrilled about his position on TV, but Jeff Jarrett is losing more than he's winning. And Jeff Jarrett actually is trying to help build Satnam Singh, and he's working freaking house shows. You know, Jeff Jarrett's having some fun. He's not embarrassing himself out there. You know, I mean, I've never been the biggest Jeff Jarrett fan. For a long time, Jeff Jarrett was not on my popularity list. But I can acknowledge that, you know what, 5 years from now, he ain't wrestling. You know, he's probably not going to wrestle, and he's not embarrassing himself. It's not, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Some people like Aubrey Edwards. I don't, listen, I've gotten used to her surfboard refereeing and stuff like that and her over-the-top antics. But, you know, I brought this up a long time ago. I don't remember the referee's name, but I brought this up when AEW first started. WWF used to have a referee. Very, very short man, lived in New York, and I think he even owned a boxing gym. And he had like a funny mustache, a bald guy, very, very small. And I saw him live many times when I was growing up. And he got very animated that if he went to count the pin, he would literally dive in the air and then do the three count. And we saw it like once or twice in the Ridgewood Grove Arena. We saw it once in Madison Square Garden, and it stopped. Never thought anything of it at that time. I read story years later that Vince McMahon Sr. told him, cut that shit out. You know, the match is not about the referee. Stop with the antics. And he stopped. I know he managed, he refereed one of Hulk Hogan's legendary matches early on. I don't know if it was the Iron Sheik. I don't think it was the Iron Sheik. No, it wasn't the Iron Sheik, because I would remember clearly. But he, if you remember the Junkyard Dog, Mother's Day, Saturday night's main event, he refereed that match. Because I remember when the Junkyard Dog won that match, true clear-cut babyface, and the Junkyard Dog was, like, angry, like, really fucking angry. And the referee picked up his arm and put it down, like, quickly, got the fuck out of there. And then he danced with what was supposed to be his mom with the big fat ass. Remember that time, Saturday Night's main event? So that's the referee. My point is that Aubrey Edwards was doing animated shit on the indie circuit before AEW ever existed. And if AEW did not condone what she was doing, they would have nipped it in the bud 4 years ago and would have said, hey, cut that shit out. We don't want the referees to be the center of attention. They welcomed it. They welcomed it. So that's the only reason why I don't get really pissed off at Aubrey Edwards, because AEW is the one that welcomed that. Yeah, do it. Jericho, more than anything, Jericho freaking gets a kick out of it more than almost anybody there. So you got to understand that part of it. That's why I don't really have that much of an issue. Like, I don't like it. I don't like a lot of it, but, you know, I understand. Andrew McGirth is asking, where is Lance Archer? He's probably home right now. It's getting a little bit late. You know, he's got to get up early to go to the gym. I'm sorry. I know that was stupid. I've been doing that dumb joke since 1997. People would say to me, I do my show at 1 o'clock in the morning, and people would say to me, where's Booker T right now? I said, he's probably sleeping. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And then people are like, that's not what I meant. Lance Archer was doing stuff in Japan. I guarantee you Lance Archer will be part of Forbidden Door. Lance Archer does a lot of work in Japan. Lance Archer does indies as well. Not getting the footprint in AEW that he should. Now with Collision coming around the corner, I'd like to see Lance Archer on Fridays. I would freaking love to see Powerhouse Hobbs and Lance Archer have a legitimate feud. I think Lance Archer may get an opportunity. I hope he gets an opportunity. I like Lance Archer. Lance Archer is legit, man. And you see some of his work in Japan. I don't really watch much of Japanese wrestling, but I do see clips here and there as far as what some of the American wrestlers are doing. Lance Archer is, if they gave him half the opportunity that he does in Japan, people would be like, how's this guy not a champion? Yeah, if he's injured right now, you know, it still doesn't matter. I mean, Lance Archer, he's been doing a lot. In fact, it was only a month ago where he was on social media and like, hey, you know, I'm here. Like, you know, nobody's calling me. So Lance Archer, hasn't been used. Listen, the last time that Lance Archer mattered on TV, he was throwing like jobbers, indie guys through ceilings. How long ago is that? A couple of years? So let's not use, oh, he injured his tricep, you know, as the reason why he's not around. It's been years they've treated him like shit. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they have not used a lot of people properly. The good thing is that Lance Archer still has a lot of his career ahead of him, just like Hobbs, just like Starks, just like a bunch of others. So there's still time to start pushing those guys, but we'll see. I mean, you know, it's funny, and people expect it in WWE. You see somebody going on a losing streak in WWE, or they're not used on TV all that much, and people will be like, you know, I just thought about it. Like, the fuck is going on with Xia Li? Or what's going on with so-and-so? What's going on with this? Now, I know they really never developed on the food chain on the main roster, but after a couple of weeks, people are like making big deals about it online. You have wrestlers that a couple of years and nothing is going on. And people just like, oh, well, you know, he's got plenty of time. You know, how long do you wait? Plus, why are you paying someone for years and years and just use them sparingly like that? That's why, listen, with the elimination of Dark and Elevation right now, it's going to be really interesting a year from now what happens with releases. Because remember, there were some wrestlers that got signed to two-year deals and then got two more years. There were some people that got three-year deals that got two more years. There's going to be quite a few contracts that are going to be coming up in 2024. And I'm not talking about the MJFs and stuff like that. I think MJF stays. I think he re-signed. I think he already re-signed. But we're talking about the people that are not being used or used sparingly. A lot of their contracts are going to come up next year. And what are you going to do? I mean, you're just going to keep them on the payroll for what? In fear that they might go to WWE? You know, it's going to come to a point where you're going to see people's contracts not being renewed. So one fool doesn't think that MJF re-signed. I think that he has. And the reason why I think that he has is because this, you know, this free speech about, oh, you know, I could jump and leave to WWE, you know, it makes Tony Khan look like a wimpy pussy. And, you know, he's not a character. I know he tries to be animated. Like, if you look at, you know, when MJF was in the media scrum after Double or Nothing, and he's saying some of the things that he's saying, and Tony Khan's sitting right next to him, and he's like, you know, just replace MJF and put your wife next to in that spot, or your husband. You talk like that. Tony Khan looks like a cuck, and Tony Khan should not have that presence about him. MJF, understand, guys, MJF, as well as he does it, and as great as he does it, and as top tier as he does it, he is playing a character. You know, that's why that Jacksonville Jaguars former coach posted that photo that time pissed me off. It pissed me off almost as much as when Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik got pulled over on the Jersey Turnpike, or I-95, whatever highway they were on. Because I knew the deal. But I was like, fuck. I knew where that was going. I mean, I didn't think, you know, they would end up their careers in WWF being totally ruined over it. But the thing is that when you know the deal, you don't want, like, when you love a magician, you don't want some asshole with a cell phone posting on social media, like, exposing the magician's secrets, like, oh, look, he's a fucking fraud. And MJF is not a fraud, but MJF running roughshod like he is with his mouth and Tony Khan just sitting there and taking it up the ass, acting like there's nothing he could do about it, that MJF is running the show. As much of a jerk that MJF comes off as, MJF is a professional. MJF is what's good for business. MJF does not have this thing about him in the wrestling world that he doesn't listen to authority, doesn't do this, doesn't do that. They portray it as a character. MJF, I don't want to be in Cleveland. I'm fucking obligated to sit here and talk tonight. You know, and that's not him. You know, you think Tony Khan, listen, you got to be at Cleveland next week. Fuck you. I ain't fucking going. I'm staying. What are you going to do about it, boss? What are you going to do? Strip me of the title? And then do what? Put it on fucking Jungle Head? You think that goes on? I think he re-signed. And maybe I'm wrong. All I know is that my gut feelings usually end up being true. We'll know very, very soon. 2024 is about halfway there. You know, I was playing the other day, Jungle Hunt. Does anybody remember that? Anybody remember that old video game from the early 80s, Jungle Hunt? I used to love playing that game. I do remember playing that video game when I was a kid going to school. And I remember one time when I got, I think I told that story, when I got into the fight with that bully, and I just picked him up and gave him not a belly to back. I don't know. You just pick him up and fall backwards. I hit him with a suplex. His head hit a rock. His chest hit like the floor, and he was like, he couldn't talk. And I felt like a hero that night. He fucking unplugged my Jungle Hunt game. I was playing in the little coffee shop, the little deli, playing Jungle Hunt. Put quarters in there, and he unplugged the game. And that's what led to the fight, man. You see all these street fights on Twitter, and people put people in headlocks. And I'm thinking, like, back to my childhood, I'm like, just pick them up and fall backwards. I mean, a lot of these guys and girls are not, like, above, like, a buck 60. Just pick them up and fall backwards. Video over. Who do I think should feud with Austin Theory? Asks Michael Gonzalez. Who should feud with Austin Theory next? Huh. That is a good question. Sheamus, they've kind of poo-pooed. Butch, I like. But Butch doesn't talk enough, and Theory will just eat him up and spit him out. It's got to be somebody that could talk. And AJ Styles, maybe. I think AJ Styles and Austin Theory as a feud, I think, would actually be pretty freaking interesting. I think AJ, I'm going to go with AJ Styles, because AJ Styles ain't feuding with, in fact, you know what, more I think about it, I think Pretty Deadly is going to move on from the Brawling Brutes, and I could see Pretty Deadly giving Gallows and Anderson a little bit of bullshit. Austin Theory, you know, will have to deal with AJ Styles. Meechan, unfortunately, not every faction has a woman attached to it, so Meechan would probably have to deal with Valhalla. That's why, if you remember the week before with What's-Her-Face, the Alpha Academy, and Maxxine Dupri. Like, the Viking Raiders, like, they've already moved on, Alpha Academy with the Viking Raiders, but they have nobody to go up against Maxxine Dupri. So during Alpha Academy, taking on a different team is fucking Valhalla. And I'm like, the Viking Raiders already moved on. Like, they already moved on from there. So they could have that problem. And plus, you don't want, you know, women just feuding with women because they're part of a faction. You know, Meechan is a lot better than that. So I'll go with AJ Styles. I'll go with AJ Styles. I like Montez Ford as an idea. The only thing is, you got to do something with Angelo Dawkins. They have not split up the Street Profits. Sure, Montez Ford could have a little feud with Austin Theory. That's the future. We've talked about that before. Austin Theory, Montez Ford, two of the biggest names in the future for WWE. Right now, though, you know, as long as he remains a team with Angelo Dawkins, unless Angelo Dawkins gets injured. You know what? The New Day. Wait, the New Day. Xavier Woods, are they on? No, they're on Raw. Yeah, because I remember Xavier Woods went at it with Dominic Mysterio. Maybe you got to move the New Day to SmackDown. Maybe have Xavier Woods go at it with Austin Theory a little bit. But I'm going to stick with AJ Styles. I think Austin Theory getting a little bit of a rub from AJ Styles would help him a little bit. I'll even go with Grayson Waller. The problem is they're both heels. I would have Grayson Waller and Austin Theory kind of aligned with each other. I think that would be interesting. We'll see. We will see. I like Pretty Deadly, man. I like the new music. We were talking about it yesterday. It does have that ABBA feel. As soon as you heard it, it sounded like ABBA, because that 70s women's, you know, there's not that many, you know, especially that are white. I mean, it didn't sound like Donna Summer or Thelma Houston. You know what I mean? Like, it sounded like a bunch of white women from the 70s singing. And you think of ABBA right away. Even though ABBA wasn't just women, there were women and men singing. But the women were so predominant in their voice, you heard the women. So believe me, I used to listen to ABBA. But I got sick and tired of that Dancing Queen song. If I had a dollar every time I heard Dancing Queen before I was the age of 16, I probably would have bought a brand new car at that time. Alexis asked, does Big E ever return? I think he does. I think he does. The thing is, and I know we wish that Mother Nature would speed it up a little bit. When you have natural healing, unfortunately, it just, you have to wait. You know, whatever you do, if there's a certain time frame, it doesn't speed up because you want it to speed up or because someone is a good person. Big E, when he got injured last year, around WrestleMania time, there was a lot of reports, and Big E himself said it, that it would be beyond this year's WrestleMania before they can reevaluate him. Not that he could go back to he is in the gym, but not that he could start preparing for an in-ring return. They had to wait a certain amount of time before they can even see if things were healing. The good news is all the talk right now has been positive. And it's not positive just to make Big E feel good, not just for his mental health. The reports coming out, and listen, we got no connections to doctors. None of these journalists online have no connections to doctors. They ain't talking to Big E's family or Big E. It's always third and fourth hand knowledge. But the reports floating around is that all the news coming out of the medical side for Big E have been positive. You know, people in the WWE world do talk to each other. Hey, you know, I heard he's doing good. I heard he's doing good. Yeah, from what I hear, the doctors say, you know, so far so good. We're probably going to need 3 to 6 more months before. Listen, you could hear something next week. But I think 3 to 6 months is the time frame where they really will know what the deal is. My gut feeling says that he does return. My gut feeling says that he returns. All right. Benjamin, you're right. Doctors can't tell people anything anyway, but the doctors could tell Big E, and Big E could tell his friends, and his friends just in conversation tell their friends, and so on and so on. I sound like a hair shampoo commercial. I'm not saying that the doctors are telling anybody behind the scenes, but, you know, the doctors give him the news. Give WWE the news, you know, and listen, good news does spread in some areas of the world still. You know, it's not always just horrible news. All the talk has been positive. And again, it's not just to make him feel good. But I think 3 to 6 months will give us more of a realistic idea if he's returning. So, okay. JS says he just won the title. And I see a super chat came in. Thank you very much. I will answer it in a second. JS says he just won the title, but should Gunther be the one to dethrone Seth Rollins? Wow, it is. I can't even think about that right now. I absolutely love Gunther. I've enjoyed him since he was Walter. I mean, the guy is, look, I'm literally looking down. Well, now I can't find it for some. Oh yeah, I can find it. I have Gunther rookie autographs everywhere. Here's just two. I got like Gunther cards and other shit. Never gave them away, but it's so early to dictate or even think about who could dethrone Seth Rollins. Shit, Seth Rollins could end up getting injured. We may have to do a tournament to determine a new heavyweight champion. Right now, Gunther is the Intercontinental Champion, and he's doing an insanely good job with it. You don't break what's not broken. You don't try to fix what's not broken. Gunther's doing great right now. You know, I know Gunther as heavyweight champion would be awesome. But right now, he is doing so good with that IC title. Why change it? There is no reason to. Seth Rollins, listen, I think Seth Rollins, barring injury, Seth Rollins holds that title for minimum 6 months, maybe 9 months. You know, they have put Seth Rollins so far behind Roman Reigns up until now, and creating this championship, and I've talked about this a few times over the last several weeks. Like, if you take that title off of Seth Rollins within 6 to 9 months minimum, people could be like, wow, what a disappointment. What a disappointment. Seth Rollins has to be that focal point. And that is part of the danger. Listen, call it like you see it. That's part of the danger of doing what you did with Roman Reigns. You set the fucking bar so high for Roman Reigns, what he did, that you neglected a boatload of other people in the process. And then when you finally give that person an opportunity, if it's not even half of what Roman Reigns did, it looks like a disappointment. Oh yeah, they have so much behind Seth Rollins, but they didn't even give him half the title run that Roman Reigns did. You imagine Cody winning that title and Cody dropping it after 6 to 9 months? Oh, Cody, yeah, he had a nice run. He ain't no fucking Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns had the belt 3 years. They set the bar so high with Roman Reigns that anybody that drops the title, you know, that means something, that has good value, it's a disappointment. Austin Theory's got his whole career ahead of him. Austin Theory could drop the title this week. It's not going to hurt his career. Gunther, it's not going to hurt his career either, because Gunther has had a memorable, strong run. So when Gunther loses that, hopefully people will be like, okay, now it's bigger and better things. It's bigger and better things. But you can't take that title off of Seth Rollins anytime soon. Other than injury. I mean, you can't take that title. So right now I say nobody. There is nobody right now that I could say, oh yeah, that person ultimately could dethrone Seth and that's fine. Yeah, Gunther down the line, that's, yeah, but how far down the line is down the line? Finn Balor will not win that heavyweight title at Survivor Series. I think Finn Balor will have a world championship run in WWE again before he retires. Finn Balor is too freaking good, man. Finn Balor, he just really, you look at WWE over the last 10 years, Finn Balor's got to be in the top 10. Top 10. Some people might even put him in the top 5. Over the last 10 years, I mean, you got to put Rollins there. You got to put Roman there. You know, you think AJ Styles, I think, belongs there. I'm talking about 10 years. I know AJ's only been there, what, 7? You might argue Kevin Owens in that top 10. You know, you start thinking of the top 10 WWE stars over the last 10 years. I put Brock in there. Absolutely would put Brock in there. But Finn Balor definitely, I think, will have another run. Well, we're just talking about on the male side, Michael. Charlotte, if you want to do both male and female, Charlotte definitely belongs in the top 10. Asuka, borderline. Asuka maybe top 15. Because her NXT run was so insanely good. Asuka has had an awesome run. But you see, when you start, you can't really commingle the men and the women. It gets really, really difficult because then you got to put Becky Lynch in there. Sasha Banks, you know, some people would question that. You know, Rhea Ripley has just started. Rhea Ripley will probably be the top female for the next 10 years. Charlotte, you know, she's getting up there in age. She could still go 100%. But 10 years from now, it's Rhea Ripley's throne. It's hers to lose. She will have that throne. But LA Knight for Money in the Bank, Mike, I'm fine with that. I absolutely would love to see LA Knight. Listen, you know, I know I piss some people off when we brag, but there's nobody, honestly, other than people who have connections within WWE or AEW, there's nobody online that nails shit more than what we do here. You look at everything. We've nailed everything. Even like I said, for everything. And I honestly think you look at you look at LA Knight, you know, better nights ahead. That was, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Knew exactly what WWE was doing. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, but so does inept. When someone has it and WWE's intentionally making them lose over and over and over again, they think that the more you get frustrated at a wrestler not giving them their flowers when they are clearly earning it, you knew that there was going to be a point where they turned the corner. And 3 weeks ago, better nights ahead. It's here. It's here. He ain't going to win. Like I said yesterday, he ain't going to win every match. And listen, as I said yesterday, but again, people are going to twist it because the emotional reply gets more attention. The only reason why the fans booed Montez Ford at SmackDown, it's not because they don't like Montez Ford. It's their way of telling WWE, look, cut the shit out with LA Knight. You know, you're forcing us to, you know, we're going to speak up that, you know what, Montez Ford, great career so far, major star in the future, you know, decent job at the Street Profits. Now it's time to give a little bit of appreciation to LA Knight. That's all that was about on Friday. It was not about, you know, Bizarro Land. There was not hate towards LA, just like Io Sky in Puerto Rico. You think Puerto Rico has this an amazing infatuation with Io Sky? No, it's just that they see week in and week out, and even back in NXT, what Io Sky can do, and she's being held back and losing and being held back and losing and being held back and losing. And it was their way of saying, okay, listen, you know, what they've done with Bianca, record run, 1 year, you know, came back from SummerSlam, you know, she's a role model, she's, you know, the focal point. All right, now you got to start sharing it with Io Sky as well. That's what the fans were doing. At the end of the day, they cheered Bianca Belair when she retained that championship against Io Sky. Fans did not turn against Montez Ford because now they're sick of Montez Ford. It was their way of just telling WWE, you know what? You know, enough of this shit. We're not going to just go along with cheering people one way. And no, LA Knight could win Money in the Bank, could very well, but we don't know all the participants yet. Riddle might be the odds-on favorite. That doesn't mean that LA Knight is going to be buried. I think LA Knight may end up feuding with Austin Theory. Maybe after Money in the Bank. Maybe after LA Knight loses at Money in the Bank, Austin Theory cuts a promo, interrupts LA Knight or vice versa, and Austin Theory talks about how LA Knight couldn't get it done at Money in the Bank, and boom, there's a feud. LA Knight might end up being the one to dethrone Austin Theory for that title. But we're still a long ways away. Let's see what happens with Money in the Bank. Will WWE split up the tag team titles? Gruss is asking. Yes, they will. They will. You will see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on SmackDown very, very soon. Now, once Jey Uso confirms his alliance with his brother Jimmy, that's when you will see Kevin Owens. Listen, like I said, we always nail shit here. Remember this. Remember this. When Jey Uso reaffirms his alliance with his brother Jimmy, and that is clear cut, and they are now baby faces again on SmackDown 110%. That and only that is when you will see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens show up on SmackDown again. Kevin Owens probably will not be thrilled about it, but you will have the Usos admit to Sami Zayn, you are right. And there will be a sign of respect there. Kevin Owens, because of his character, isn't going to be totally on board with it. But that is the only time you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn commingle with the Usos once again. You're right is what's going to come out of the Usos' mouth to Sami Zayn. You are right. Once that is established, then you could have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against somebody on SmackDown. Could be Pretty Deadly, could be the OC, could be anybody. I don't think it'll be the Usos, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will ultimately lose the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. So those titles can remain on SmackDown. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are still Raw stars. So they will have the titles on Raw. And then whoever wins those belts, they will ultimately probably feud with the Usos or someone else. And who knows? The Usos may end up getting those championships back. I know. You know, WWE has a history of that. You know, when things seem a little bit stale, they'll go back to unreliable. That's why sometimes you have Brock Lesnar show up and unexpectedly get a championship back, and people are like, the fuck? Charlotte Flair. You've seen that a few times. People like, because they know that they know that with that person being champion, they know what to do with it. You mark my words, that is going to happen with the Usos. That'll happen with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. You will hear the Usos say to Sami Zayn, you were right. Kevin Milwaukee, inquiring minds want to know, did I ever get a hold of the footage from my wedding when I took the fog machine bump? Yeah, I have the footage. I'm going to say something that's going to kind of baffle some people out there. I have not watched my full wedding video yet. I have the video inside. We have not watched it yet. And the reason why we have not watched it is because of two reasons. Number one, I didn't want to see the footage of me falling. And number two, somebody who we were very close with passed away that was at the wedding. And this person is predominantly featured on the video. And, you know, especially my wife, she didn't want to see that. So this week or next week, we will be watching it because we still got to pick photos for our albums. Yeah, it's been 9 months. We still haven't done it. So I will watch it. And listen, apparently the footage is there. It caught it. So you see, I mean, my photographer explained it to me. When I watch it, I'll probably put the video online. I'll let you all see it. I don't care. I don't mind, you know, we have wrestle crap with Don Tony. We could have life crap with Don Tony. So that was not good. My hip joint, I had that bruise and that internal bruise for about 6 months. I couldn't sleep on one side. That's how bad it was. So, yeah, my wedding night. I'm not going to describe what my wedding night looked like at my house afterwards, but that's not fun. You're literally at the tail end of your wedding reception, and you're getting ready to take the envelopes and go home and then maybe have a little bit of late night fun. And I take a massive spill and it's all caught on video. Danny, almost Chad Gable. Not, he says, sheesh. Is that the new thing with Chad Gable now? That he's got to like try to set the world record every time he comes out there now? That shush is going to go 35 seconds. I think we get prepared. Every time he comes out now, it's going to be the extended 12-inch long version of his shushes. I love Chad Gable. I don't know if I want to hear 25-second shushes every week now. Did it affect the honeymoon? No. I mean, you know, I still got painkillers. That helped. A lot of what's that spray that I use? I use this cold spray. I'm obsessed with it. I used to use mineral ice. Mineral ice is awesome until your fingers turn blue. I use so much mineral ice on my foot and my leg over the years from my car accident that my foot started turning blue. Even when I took baths and showers, like the dye would sink into my skin. I go to the doctor and the doctor would be like, the fuck is wrong with your foot? And I'm like, nah, that's the blue dye from mineral ice. They thought I lost circulation. I was going to become Zach Allen. But no, it was just dye. I can't remember the spray right now, but it's a cold spray. They sell it on Amazon, like $10 a bottle or something. Cold sprays are awesome. When I used to play softball when I was a kid, that was one of the things we would do. We would sneak into the coach's bag and get the spray. You know, when you get hit with a ball or something, they spray it. We would sneak into the bag and like, ah. Especially in the summertime, you're like spraying it in your face, in your arms, your legs. You're like, ah, this feels so good. The cold spray. Like the same shit that What's-His-Face sprays in AEW. Brandon Cutler. It's the same spray, the cold spray. Benjamin is asking, why did Asuka beat Bianca instead of Io Sky? Because Asuka could play a heel better. Io Sky is very well liked by the fans. Io Sky is kind of picking up where Asuka left off as a babyface, international babyface. They want to see Io Sky and Asuka feud. I know by now a lot of you had the opportunity to see the translation of their back and forth on SmackDown, which is kind of interesting. But no, Asuka, you know, is doing a good job as a heel. She's a heel right now, but she's not a clear-cut heel. You know, she's great on social media. She is having a blast on social media, and there's not too many people that I look forward to, you know, seeing what they post on social media. She's one of them. But Io Sky right now, she's still in a feud with Bayley. I mean, they still have to have the split with her and Bayley, which should happen at Money in the Bank when it's every woman for herself. And Io Sky could end up winning Money in the Bank. She could end up getting screwed by Bayley at Money in the Bank. That's why you go with Asuka beating Bianca Belair, because you need a real good heel, and Asuka fit that role. Dr. Michael X would like to know, what do I think they should do with Ricochet? I want to see Ricochet. Listen, it was about a month ago that Kevin and I said that Corbin and Mustafa would both show up in NXT. I joked about, remember when I said that Corbin should be drafted to NXT? I mean, a lot of people forget that. When we did our draft prediction, I said, put Corbin in NXT. I'd like to see Ricochet go back to NXT. I want to see Ricochet headline an NXT pay-per-view against Carmelo Hayes. It would not be a demotion. Mustafa Ali has got a Money in the Bank qualifying match on Raw tomorrow, which he will lose. But then on SmackDown, well, maybe he will win the match. You don't know. But on NXT on Tuesday, he's taking on Joe Gacy. So Mustafa Ali is going to be on two nights in a row. Mustafa Ali, it's not a demotion, him going to NXT. It's to help the young guys of tomorrow, but it's also to give them work and give them a little bit more high-profile position. I would like to see Ricochet do that. I want to see Ricochet. And listen, I'm not saying that Ricochet hasn't appeared in NXT before. I want to see Ricochet hang out there for maybe a month or two. You know, I loved it when the New Day were there for a little while. And what did the New Day do? They helped Pretty Deadly. I think more than anybody, they help Pretty Deadly. These are not demotions. You have value there. You know, of course, the fans of the main roster love to see these guys perform, whether it's a house show or a TV. But if they're not in line for championships, maybe you could get a little bit more for your dollar right now by having them show up in NXT. I definitely think somebody soon in the women's division on the main roster is going to show up at NXT and feud with Tiffany Stratton. I see that happening. Corbin NXT is not a downgrade. It is not a downgrade. Corbin right now, they are doing nothing with. After what happened with him and JBL ultimately fizzled out. To me, listen, Corbin obviously is one of those guys that you feel should never be a babyface. But I kind of wish they would have done a babyface run with Lucky Corbin. Get the fans behind him. I mean, listen, you could have him turn heel again a couple of months from now. But you get the fans behind you. Even when you do turn heel, there was a point where the fans were behind you. And there's always that little bit of respect and appreciation that lingers, and they didn't do that with Corbin. When the fans started feeling like, you know what, he's Lucky Corbin, I actually could buy into that. And they didn't do it. They've never put Corbin in a position where the fans started growing, Corbin started growing on the fans, and they went with it to let him get over with the fans. Sometimes when you get over with the fans, you're over for life. Even if you do end up with a little bit of mediocrity, sometimes when you get that connection with the fans, you don't ever lose it. They never gave him that opportunity. Him doing an NXT right now is better than what they're doing with the main roster. What is he going to do on the main roster? He's going to lose to Cody Rhodes. He's going to lose to Seth Rollins. He's going to lose to other people. He's going to keep losing opportunities. And then what? At least in NXT, you know, they appreciate and they actually will give him a little bit of respect, a little bit of appreciation. They're not going to just crap him out of the building. So, no, it's not a demotion. It's not a demotion, especially with right now. In my opinion, it's not a demotion. All right. We are in an hour and 10 minutes. Let's wrap this up in five because we got a show tomorrow. We're going to recap Raw. And, you know, tomorrow's Raw is going to be interesting. We got to find out if Brock Lesnar is going to show up and accept the challenge. I kind of think that Brock Lesnar does need to show up next week. I mean, show up tomorrow. What am I saying next week? Because Money in the Bank is in 4 weeks. It's in 4 weeks. So that means there'll be four Raws prior to Money in the Bank. So if there are four Raws, wait, what is, yeah, Money in the Bank is July 1st, I believe. So you have four Raws. So if Brock accepts tomorrow, that means next week you could go with nothing. And then maybe the week after you have the contract signing. And then the week after that, you could have nothing. And then the week after that is the final Raw leading into Money in the Bank. And then they could have, you know, a final pull apart. Or they could milk it for one extra week. And then Brock makes his, accepts it next week. I kind of think tomorrow, you know, I mean, then again, I can see Cody coming out there tomorrow. Say, see everybody, I was right. Brock Lesnar, you're a coward. You're afraid. You're a coward. You took your ball and you went home. Where are you, Brock? So I could, maybe he does that for a week or two and starts really, really, maybe he even takes a shot at Sable. Maybe Cody Rhodes, not mention her by name, but maybe take a shot at Sable. And then the week after, Brock shows up. So we'll see. We'll see. Chaos, believe it or not, no bullshit. I'll even shoot a little video to show you. This coming Sunday, my parents are going to Florida, and we're actually having a big get-together on Saturday. And I'm going to actually start bird sitting tomorrow because they have to take care of a few things during the week. I appreciate that. Come down to Paradise Alley in Connecticut for the return of Richard Holiday. I know he was battling cancer, and I've seen a little bit online of what's going on with him. He was dating Alicia Atout, right? It was Richard Holiday, Alicia Atout, but, you know, he had to abruptly put his career on hold because of that. You know, I've been paying a little attention, but the next one after that, I should be able to. Especially Connecticut, always could make a weekend out of that. If I tell my wife, hey, let's go to Mohegan Sun for a day or two on the weekend, while we're there, we stop. Yeah, we could probably do that. I'm still amazed how close WWE's offices are from my house over here. It's like 30 minutes. I mean, I never realized how close it was until I started driving to Mohegan Sun. I'm like blown away at how close it is. I absolutely, this is on my bucket list. WWE in the past would do tours of their office. And I actually spoke to someone when last year when I was going to Florida and they were going to, you know, hook me up with the NXT thing and everything. I wanted the photo op with Tony D'Angelo, and Tony D'Angelo was nowhere to be found, that cocksucker. Sorry, but got a call like it is. I wanted the photo Tony D with Tony D and didn't show up. But I talked to someone last year that I want to visit the WWE offices. But the thing was that they were moving from their original offices. It's almost, I don't want to say it's across the street, but it's on the opposite side of the highway. And it is very close to the original building. I would say less than 5 minutes away. But at the time last year, they were still in the process of setting up the new facilities. Now it's done, and management has moved in over there. That's why it was cute. Some people were, I don't know if you remember this, some people about 2 months ago were reporting like, I have exclusive news that WWE, the management has moved into the other office. You know how they knew that? They were driving down the highway at 6 o'clock at night, and they saw all of the lights on. I mean, I'm not even joking. That's exactly how they had it, because one of them went on Facebook and took a picture from their phone on the highway and said, oh, shit, WWE offices, the lights are on. Somebody took that and then reported online as an exclusive. But once WWE does tours again, or maybe if I could get special, you know, authorization, I want to tour WWE offices. And who knows? Maybe I'll get to meet some of the management there. So, and Chaos, you didn't have to do that, my friend. I appreciate everything that you do, believe me. I don't want anybody here especially to feel like they got to show up to every show that I do. I get it. Everybody's got lives. You know, it's not that. It's when I was saying what I was saying over the last year, see, thank you for the rub, DT. Much love. I didn't say that for a rub. I appreciate the 20 spot, my friend. What I said over the last month was just that I'm in my 50s now. And, you know, when you only get 2-3 hours of sleep, you do that long enough and you get sick over it. And the thing is that when you see, like, a good portion of your audience live on someone else's channel, the same time I'm doing live on my channel, I'm not offended, I'm not jealous by it, but I say to myself, why am I staying up until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning doing this if a lot of people are going to just check out the replay anyway? I might as well just record it, put it online, and then everybody watches it. That's really what it came down to. You know, so I don't want to ever anybody, and I'm not saying that you did this. I'm just saying, like, in general, I want people to understand. I'm not going to put anybody in a position to choose, but, you know, you got to keep in mind that, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to put in all this editing and do things live and then go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, I do follow other shows out there. They're my friends. And I'm curious to see what their views are in wrestling. And I look at the live chat and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's cool. You know, that's fine. I don't get mad at it, but I'm like, why am I staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning then? It gets a little tough. Rocky Red, was the referee Dick Kroll? No. I will look it up. This is a hint. I'm almost tempted to look right now, but I can't. But he died in the last 5 years. He might have died only like 2-3 years ago. I actually paid respect for him on the show. I don't remember his name, but if you look up, you know what? I'm going to lose sleep if I don't do this. Let me just say, look, former WWE referee passes away. Let's see. I bet you pull, not Tim White. I mean, we know Tim White. Let's go to 2020. Mickey J died in 2020. Let's go to 2021. That's when Tim White died. Let's go to 2019. I might not be able to find it this quickly, but he died in the last couple of years. It wasn't 2022. Couldn't have been 2022. Now, that was when Tim White died. You know what? I have an idea. Let's put WWF referee. Now we go to images. Let's see. Please make it easy for me. Make it easy. Oh, you know what? I type in Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn. I think that'll get the name. Here's the last chance. Oh, yeah. Yes. No. No, that's Frenchie Ramos. Hold on. Is this him? Yeah, I think this is him. Yes. I found it. Yes. Frenchie Ramos. That is the referee. He had Williamsburg gym. Here's a link for anybody in the live chat. There you go. That is the referee. Frenchie Ramos. He's the one that passed away. If you look, who was, anybody remember the Saturday night's main event match that Junkyard Dog had, that it was Mother's Day and then he danced in the ring with his mother? Remember the big dress and the big fat ass? And I say that with love because I got a big fat ass. He wrestled wasn't Rene Goulet. It was the other guy that used to always scream. What was his name with the long, the Duke of Dorchester? Who's the Duke of Dorchester? And I'm not even probably even saying that right. Someone in the chat knows this. I promise you, we go off the air in 5 minutes, someone will have it. That's, you look at that referee in that match. Who was the Duke of Dorchester, whatever he was, in the WWF? He used to scream all the time. I'm going to end up figuring out the name on my own. Pete Daugherty. Thank you, Rocky Red. Look up Junkyard Dog versus Pete Daugherty, Saturday night's main event, Mother's Day. That referee is the one I'm talking about. In the early 80s, in WWF matches, when he would go for the three, I even think that into that link I just looked up, I think he even talks about it in an interview also. He used to dive up in the air. I mean, literally like fly up in the air and then land and then do the three count. And Vince McMahon Sr. said, cut that shit out. We don't want that shit with referees here. And he never did it again. That's him. That's him. So. Yeah, Chaos, I know you mod JD. JD absolutely needs mods over there. Oh, my God. He gets it from all sides. Jesus. I mean, JD is probably one of the most misunderstood people out there that do shows. And somebody brought to my attention last week about Joey Janela going after him. I honestly think this may lead to Joey Janela having a match for House of Glory. But, you know, I will say this in closing before I leave about JD. You know, JD and I did Forbidden Door. People got to see a side of JD that you don't normally see. And the one thing that I will say, no question, a lot of views of JD's are totally not in sync with mine. We disagree on a lot of topics. Sometimes I intentionally do not watch his shows because when I express an opinion about somebody, the last thing I want is for somebody to say, oh, well, so-and-so said the opposite, or, oh, so you're calling so-and-so a liar. And it's like, listen, if I express my views, I express my opinions. I don't want to change something or not say something because it goes against what someone else is saying. So sometimes I intentionally, if I have a strong viewpoint on something and I have a feeling that it may not sync with a lot of people out there, I will not tune into anybody else's shit. Because then, you know, you got to think like, oh, if I say it this way, it kind of like put. But what I'm getting back to JD, you know, one thing people need to understand, and this is why JD definitely deserves all the respect. Seriously, I know that may sound humorous to some people, but I'll tell you why. And I'll say this as I leave. The guy gives a shit about wrestling. He is a huge wrestling fan. He wants to see wrestling better. He is never content about what he sees on TV. Now, the thing is, there are things about his wrestling, his taste in wrestling that doesn't match mine. It may not match yours. It may sync with yours perfectly. I saw somebody, and I know a lot of you know who this is. I won't say his name. I saw somebody online write something this week, and it really got me mad. And they said something like, you know, it's sad to see those fans that are only pro WWE who are going to miss out on an amazing, memorable summer of wrestling. And I was like, you know what? With all due respect, fuck you. Because if someone out there only likes WWE, that doesn't mean that they're less of a wrestling fan than you are. If there are people out there that can't stand WWE and only watches AEW or New Japan or just the indies, that doesn't make them any less of a wrestling fan than you or me. People like what they want to like. They're not forced to like something. When Billy Corgan says, oh, if you don't watch Tyrus, you're not a wrestling fan, I listen to that. I'm like, oh, fuck you. If I don't want to watch NWA, I'm not going to watch NWA. It's just like And I like, who said it? Oh, shit. Somebody wrote, you're not a true wrestling fan if you don't watch Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. Like, don't tell me that if I only like this, you know, then I'm less. Just take wrestling and replace that with anything else on this earth. And it makes you realize how stupid they sound. Just because I like something that you don't like, or I dislike something that you like, doesn't make me any less of a wrestling fan. And the thing about JD is, he truly, what he likes, he wants to see even better. Never content with that. And that's the thing that you got to appreciate. If he was just fake and he didn't give a shit about wrestling and just said what is necessary to generate the views and the dollars, that's one thing. But the guy truly loves wrestling. And he is very opinionated. And there's a lot of people that agree with his viewpoint. If it doesn't sync with your viewpoint, that's cool. But that doesn't make him a bad person. And that's why I see some of the shit online. And I'm like, yeah, you got to have thick skin in doing this stuff. Because, you know, you could get eaten up and spit out. And it's not easy. But authenticity to me is number one. And, you know, there are people out there very authentic. We're not going to name the other names. All right, but there are some other people in the podcasting world. If you've taken notice, and I know some of you have, over the last 6 months, they have intentionally copied the entire style of JD from New York. That they not only copy the attitudes about, oh, roster splits and this and that, but they actually will write their tweets exactly the way that he does, complete with red circles and capital letters in certain areas and this and that. And I'm literally watching this transformation. It's like watching a bad edition of the Incredible Hulk. It's almost like I can't use the R word. It's like just watching like somebody do, like, it's almost like Tony Khan, stone beyond belief, gets to direct an episode of The Incredible Hulk. I'm watching the transformation of somebody who was a decent podcaster and a journalist that had this many views, that thinks that if I turn into the next coming of JD, that suddenly I'm going to get 1,000 likes. And sadly, it actually is, it has worked for him a little bit. But you could see and smell the level of fake going right through their accounts. And it's sad to see it. Oh, my God. If you pay attention closely, just go on their Twitter history. Just look 6 months to a year ago. And you'll see it blatantly copying just the way he writes and the way he talks. Oh, my God. There are people out there that suddenly complain about every little fucking fart. Just look up the Vince McMahon stuff. I mean, JD believes that Vince McMahon has got his fingers in a lot of what WWE does on TV. Me, I think he does to a certain extent, but he owns the fucking company, and he's the reason why the money is what it is. Doesn't make it better, but it is what it is. You know, hey, if I own my house and I want to put my fist through the wall, if I want to rip pipes out of the ceiling and fuck up my house, it's my house. Do what I want. Tough shit. You know, unfortunately, that's the way it is. But you see some of these people online and suddenly they're obsessed with Vince McMahon. Obsessed. And you could see it clear as day. They're trying to be JD light. Thinking like, hey, that'll get me money. Hey, that'll get me views. Hey, that'll get me noticed. I'm not mentioning any names. Not mentioning any names. Zero. No. Yeah, Kevin, I'm going to talk about Moss and Emma getting engaged. I have photos. I have that planned for tomorrow. In fact, here, let's go off the air. We're at 90 minutes. So once again, a quick plug. If you want to go check out the show tomorrow. Now, if you notice the last 2 weeks, we're going to keep Monday simple from now on. It's ratings. It's Raw. And I don't know. It's ratings, Raw, and something else. I'll think of another word that has to do with an R. Like 3-4 topics and done. Simple. Simple to the point that we don't even need a synopsis like we used to. And the last 2 weeks, I've really enjoyed that simple setup. So maybe Raw review and ratings? I don't know. So much love, everyone. I'm out of here. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. And, yeah, I appreciate the support. I can't thank you enough. And I will be back here Monday night after Raw. Where is my outro? I got to organize these a little bit better. I got to one day take a picture of this and show you. Things are so fucking scattered. But, yeah, I'm a little lazy with stuff like that. But, hey, at least we have no more glitches. Remember the early days when we were doing video? How many glitches? I look back on it and I'm like, oh, I can't even look. So, but, yeah, I'm out of here, everyone. Be well. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.